you bribe the right politicians in the right order at the right time, you can trade the nuclear warheads for medicine, and it's not even a crime. $1 on clinical trials, $600 on making you dead. Your leaders aren't evil.
I have watched your nonprofit sector for 80 years, and I have never seen anything like it. You have millions of organizations whose stated mission is to solve problems. Their actual output is grant proposals, annual reports, and conferences about the problems. Malaria kills 600,000 people a year and has a $7 billion nonprofit ecosystem dedicated to it. Polio has been nearly eradicated for 25 years. Cancer charities have raised hundreds of billions of dollars, and cancer is still the second leading cause of death. Occasionally, as a side effect of all this activity, a problem gets slightly less bad. This is celebrated with an awards dinner. They spend most of their time competing with each other for the same shrinking pool of grant money. Not because they disagree, because the bowl is so small that winning it doesn't actually let you accomplish your mission. You just get to keep existing for another fiscal year, which on your planet counts as victory. They're like starving dogs fighting over a single bowl of food while an entire banquet sits untouched behind them. The dogs are very focused on the bowl. They've developed sophisticated bullfighting strategies. Some dogs have hired consultants to optimize their bowl access. None of them have turned around. Every grant you win is a grant the Alzheimer's people lose. Every dollar you secure for malaria is a dollar that doesn't go to cancer. Every donor you convince is a donor distracted from the next organization, which is also trying to stop people from dying, which is the same thing you're trying to do, but you're competing because your species decided that saving lives should be a competitive market with limited funding. On Wishonia, this would be classified as a psychological disorder. On Earth, it's called the nonprofit sector. Meanwhile, the reason the bowl is so small sits right there in your budget documents, fully visible, discussed by no one. Your species spends 604 times more on weapons than on clinical trials to discover which medicines actually work. Military spending, $2.72 trillion per year and rising. Medical research, $67.5 billion, of which only $4.5 billion funds government clinical trials, and facing real-term cuts. The bowl for solving disease is shrinking. The bowl for building weapons is expanding. You are rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, except the deck chairs are grants, and the iceberg is $2.72 trillion pointed at everyone's face. This is not an ideological claim, it's arithmetic, the kind where you multiply numbers together and get sad. The logic behind a 1% treaty is the logic behind turning around and noticing the banquet. Stop optimizing inside the smallest slice of the pie. Make the pie bigger. Turn a zero-sum game into a positive-sum game. This requires no moral evolution. It requires looking behind you. Why the banquet exists and nobody has noticed.
On Wishonia, when we noticed that our species was spending the vast majority of its resources on activities that reduced the number of living citizens, we stopped. It took about a week. In fairness, we didn't have consultants. On Earth, every organization fighting a problem is fighting a symptom of the same upstream cause. Your species allocates resources toward destruction and then wonders why everything is being destroyed. War is upstream of poverty, hard to build an economy when someone keeps blowing it up. War is upstream of pollution. Militaries are among the largest polluters on Earth, which is ironic given they're supposedly protecting it. War is upstream of refugee crises. Humans whose homes were converted into craters need somewhere else to live. War is upstream of disease spread. Bombs do not improve public health infrastructure. War is upstream of technological stagnation. Yes, DARPA invented the internet. Military R&D occasionally produces breakthroughs as a side effect of spectacular waste, the same way a forest fire occasionally clears space for new growth, but nobody calls an arsonist a gardener. War is the root password to your worst problems. Redirect 1% of it, and every downstream mission gets easier. Increase it by 1%, and every mission becomes nearly impossible. This is not a peace movement. Nobody has to hold hands or sing songs or learn each other's names. They just have to do arithmetic, which is the one thing your species is actually good at when it bothers to try. I want to explain why this applies to every type of organization, but I'm going to do it by describing what I observe rather than what you should do, because your species responds poorly to instructions and reasonably well to feeling embarrassed. Environmental groups spend their time trying to reduce carbon emissions, while the largest polluters on Earth, militaries, operate completely outside every climate agreement. Defunding them 1% would be the most effective climate policy ever proposed, and it doesn't require anyone to give up hamburgers or install a solar panel. Nobody has suggested this because the environmental movement and the peace movement operate in separate buildings and do not talk to each other. They attend different conferences, they have different donors, they fight the same problem from different angles and never coordinate, which is exactly the behavior they're trying to fix in the systems they criticize. Anti-poverty groups have been running the strategy of ask rich people to feel bad for 60 years. How's that going? War and disease are the root causes of most modern poverty. A 1% treaty tackles both. But poverty organizations don't work on military spending because that's not their issue. Their issue is poverty, which is caused by military spending, which is not their issue. Peace organizations have been making moral appeals for 70 years. Moral appeals do not work on a species that runs on money. A 1% treaty makes peace more profitable than war. This is the only argument that has ever worked on humans, and the peace movement refuses to make it because it feels unseemly to talk about profit when people are dying. So people keep dying, but at least the peace movement's messaging is ethically pure. Disease advocacy groups are fighting other disease groups for crumbs of the NIH budget. You are literally competing with cancer patients for the money that should be curing cancer patients. A 1% treaty creates $27.2 billion in new funding with 12.3 times more trial capacity. The bottleneck isn't ideas or molecules, it's running enough trials to find out what works. This solves that. If your organization is a 501c3, you're already thinking, we can't lobby. You can, actually, within limits, the no substantial part test, or the 501h election caps. But more importantly, supporting a referendum is educational activity, not lobbying. And for the heavy political lifting, the legal architecture uses a 501c4 that faces no lobbying limits at all. Your lawyers will feel better after reading that chapter. But shouldn't nonprofits focus on their core mission? Yes, that is exactly the point. Your core mission is failing because your resources are shrinking while the resources of the people making your mission harder are expanding. This is like a firefighter insisting they should focus on firefighting while someone is actively pouring gasoline on the fire and nobody is addressing the gasoline. Every nonprofit today operates inside a system that guarantees their failure. Too few grant dollars, too much competition for those dollars, shrinking government budgets for health, climate, and poverty, ballooning budgets for war, donor fatigue. Your donors are tired because you keep asking them for money to do things that don't work because you don't have enough money. And the people whose job is convince politicians that killing is profitable get $2.72 trillion annually to make your job harder. Your future funding and impact will be determined by either you or Lockheed Martin's lobbying department. Currently, it's B. You seem fine with this. The obvious solution that nobody sees. Right now, every grant you win is a grant another organization loses. This is called a zero-sum game, which your species invented the mathematics to describe and then immediately forgot to apply to anything useful. A 1% treaty turns this into a positive-sum game. $27.2 billion per year in new funding. Malaria gets cured, and Alzheimer's gets cured. You stop writing proposals and start getting paid for results. This is like discovering that instead of fighting over one pizza, you can just order more pizzas than anyone can eat. Except the pizzas are billions of dollars, and the ordering is international treaty ratification, which admittedly takes longer than calling Domino's. Countries still keep 99% of their apocalypse capacity. They can still end all life 19 times instead of 20. If you can't successfully end the world with 19 attempts, the 20th probably wasn't going to help. But that single percentage point creates a $27.2 billion per year 1% treaty fund, funds global decentralized clinical trials, and makes every nonprofit's mission dramatically more feasible. Move 1% from the mountain to the puddle. The puddle becomes a lake. The mountain is still a mountain. Everybody wins except the people who are selling mountain insurance, and even they can pivot. Why your species only changes when the building is on fire. Your species only reorganizes resources when things are going badly enough that ignoring the problem becomes more painful than fixing it. This is not a theory. It is the entirety of your political history, from the French Revolution to the New Deal to the creation of NATO. Comfortable humans don't change things. Uncomfortable humans change everything. Then they get comfortable and stop changing things again. Right now, for the first time in 80 years, everything is going wrong at the same time. Military budgets are expanding while everything else gets cut. Trust in government spending priorities has reached used car salesman levels. Pandemics expose the cost of underfunding resilience. Climate disasters have shifted public opinion from debatable to my house is underwater. And your leaders are searching for a unifying narrative, which is political language for someone please tell us what to do before we get voted out. This is your window. It opens when humans are scared and closes when they get distracted. Based on my 4,297 years of observation, the average window lasts about 18 months before your species discovers a new television show and forgets the crisis entirely. The factory precedent. During World War II, your species did something remarkable. GM built tanks. Ford built B-24 bombers. Frigidaire, yes, the refrigerator people, produced machine guns. Typewriter manufacturers made rifles. Not because they supported war, because the system needed realignment and ignoring it was impossible. Also because the government asked very firmly, in a tone that strongly implied this isn't really a question. Your nonprofit sector is the modern equivalent of those car factories. Massive capacity, talented people, pointed at the wrong problem. You have millions of humans optimizing spreadsheets for the wrong budget. The factories pivoted in months. Your nonprofits have been focused on their core mission for decades, while the core mission gets harder every year. You didn't get better at focus, you got better at ignoring the context in which your focus operates. A few years of effort to shift 1% of global budgets could produce more impact than 30 years of incremental programs. Decades, during which, I should note, the problems got worse. On Washonia, we have a word for doing the same thing for 30 years while results decline. The word is hobby. Why not just run decentralized trials without the treaty? You should. You should absolutely build the most efficient trial infrastructure possible. But then what? You've built a beautiful garden hose. You've optimized its diameter, its nozzle, its flow rate. You've published papers about its efficiency. It is the best garden hose your species has ever produced. It's attached to a pipe with no water. Your clinical trial infrastructure becomes 12.3 times more useful when the resource stream feeding it is 10 times larger. You cannot out-engineer a funding problem. Build the hose and turn on the water. They're complements, not substitutes. What 1% less violence buys every mission. I'm going to describe what happens when you shift 1% of military budgets, but I'm going to describe it the way I actually observe it, as a single upstream change that fixes things your species has been trying to fix separately for decades, while refusing to notice they're all the same problem. 12.3 times more clinical trial capacity, diseases get cured instead of managed, the pharmaceutical industry's least favorite sentence, militaries emit less pollution, nobody carbon taxes a tank, but maybe they should, fewer resource-driven conflicts means fewer refugees, means less poverty. Everyone becomes slightly less dead, which is the lowest bar imaginable, and yet... And here's the part that should keep every nonprofit executive director awake at night. You stop writing grant proposals and start actually doing your mission. Remember your mission? It was in the brochure, the one you wrote to get the grant, to pay the person who writes the grants, to fund the office where the grant writing happens. Your organization has become a machine whose primary output is requests for money, and whose secondary output is, occasionally, accidentally, the thing you set out to do. The treaty fixes this by making the money show up without the begging. Your species calls this too good to be true, which is a phrase you use to describe things that are good and true, but embarrassing to admit. On bribing nonprofits, legally. On Washonia, when we wanted organizations to cooperate on a shared goal, we explained the goal and they cooperated. On Earth, you need to pay them. This is not a criticism, it's a design parameter. I've learned to work with the species I have, not the species I wish I had. Asking nonprofits to support a 1% treaty out of moral obligation is like asking a drowning person to rescue other swimmers. They're drowning. They need a life preserver, not a guilt trip. You offer two kinds of life preserver, and then the ocean itself. The first life preserver, you make the organization rich. Old way, here's $100,000. Hope it helps. Submit a 47-page report in 6 months about impacts and learnings. Use the word stakeholder at least 14 times. New way, here's $50,000 baseline to get started, plus $10,000 for every 10,000 verified referendum votes you drive through your unique link. No cap. The nonprofit's most rational path to maximizing their budget becomes be your most effective mobilization partner. One metric, no ambiguity. Get paid for results. This is how every functional industry works except charity, which explains why every problem charity was invented to solve is still here. The second life preserver, you make the leaders personally rich. Even performance grants get absorbed into general operations. We hired 3 more grant writers. Congratulations! You've invented a machine that converts donated money into more requests for donated money. The fix? Every verified referendum vote their organization drives earns the executive director a direct payout from victory incentive alignment bonds. Their Tesla depends on the treaty passing. Your species responds better to personal financial incentives than organizational mission statements. This is observable in every context where humans have ever existed. I'm just the first one to say it out loud about nonprofit leaders, who are, I assure you, made of the same meat as everyone else. The ocean itself, The 1% Treaty Fund receives $27.2 billion annually. Your decentralized institutes of health allocates multi-billion dollar budgets to the diseases your organization exists to fight. When the treaty passes, the grant writing stops. The money arrives because the treaty says it arrives. You don't need influence, you don't need a seat at the table, you need the treaty to pass. Everything after that is automatic, the way gravity is automatic, except instead of pulling things down, it pulls money toward curing diseases. Gravity has never done this. I checked. You have two options. Option A, keep competing for finite grants forever, writing proposals, begging foundations, hoping your competitor doesn't write a better proposal. Option B, help pass the treaty. Get paid referral bonuses for every verified referendum vote you drive, and watch $27.2 billion per year flow to your disease area. One involves begging. The other involves getting paid. On Wishonia, this would not require a chapter to explain, but your species is very attached to its suffering, so here we are. The dogs need to turn around and notice the banquet. I've been watching them fight over the bowl for 80 years. The banquet is right there. It has always been right there. The dogs are very focused. They have written reports about the bowl. They have held conferences about bowl strategy. They have hired consultants to optimize bowl access. None of them have turned around. Turn around.
Thank you so much for taking the time to end war and disease. But if at any point you decide you're too busy, please share this with a friend who's got a free afternoon and have them end war and disease instead. And if you're too busy to even do that, please leave a really, really, really good rating and review so we overcome the pro-war algorithmic suppression and find someone with more spare time for ending wars and diseases. The good review doesn't have to be true. They don't check. But if you're too busy to even do that, the absolute least you could do is take 15 seconds to go to warondisease.org and tell us what fraction of humanity's resources should go to explosions versus clinical trials, and vote. If the 1% treaty passes, your vote will be personally to blame for saving 38.4 lives and preventing 6.9 million hours of suffering. Go to warondisease.org right now. Love you. Bye.